Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience, as I have recently returned from Kenya, and I'll be here in the U.S. for a little while doing some preaching in churches and also visiting with support people around the country. And so I have been amazed and shocked, I guess, since I've been away a year and was just here for 3 weeks the last time I was here. So I really didn't get a sense of what is going on here in the country. And so now I'm getting a full view and a full saturation of what is going on here in the country. And I'm really shocked about the woke agenda that is taking over here in America. It seems to be pervasive in the schools, it's pervasive in the government, and now it's taking over the business environment. We just recently heard this week of the beer manufacturer Budweiser that turned their Bud Light marketing campaign into a promotion for transgender agenda. And so we wonder what is going on in America. Can things get more confusing? Can things get more derelict? And so this is something that I want to address today. What does the Bible have to say about this? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Does God have anything to say about this type of thinking, this type of perversion? And I want to say from the outset, beloved, that if you don't believe God's word is a sovereign word, if you don't believe his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, you're not going to agree with some of the things, maybe none of the things that I say today. And I want you to just hear me out and listen to what the Bible has to say. And you know that I believe God's word is sovereign, God's word is true, and the truth will set us free. That's what his word says. And so set your feelings aside. Maybe you have somebody in your family, maybe even you yourself are fighting with this issue in your own mind, in your own soul. Or maybe you have somebody in your family, a brother, a sister, maybe even one of your children that is fighting with this issue. And I just would ask you to set your feelings aside for a little bit and understand the Word of God and be faithful to the Word of God and pray for those people. Maybe you have people in your family that are struggling with this issue. Pray for those people. That is the best thing that you can do for them. Oftentimes you can't preach to them, you can't speak scripture to them, you can't Bible thump to them, but oftentimes if you just pray, you'll see a change. You'll see a change start to come, and you'll know that your prayers are effective. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so don't ever think that your prayers aren't effective. Don't ever think that your prayers aren't getting through to God and that they're not accomplishing anything, because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so if there's somebody in your family that's struggling with this issue, maybe they've already gone far down the road. Maybe they've been in this lifestyle for years. But if they are struggling with it and they are in this lifestyle, you can pray for them and you will eventually see answers to your prayers. You'll eventually see a change come, beloved, and that is an encouraging thing to us, that we can see change come when we pray, that when we pray, there will be a response, there will be an answer. God hears your prayers and he will heal our land, he will heal these people, and he will cause a change to come about in their life. Well, I'm going to start out with the scripture from Ephesians 6:12, because this explains what's going on here in America, not just in America, but other countries where this type of agenda has taken hold and taken root. The Apostle Paul talks about the battle that we're in is a spiritual battle, and that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the people that we're wrestling against. All people are created in the image of God. And so as we speak about this subject, the woke agenda, the homosexual agenda, as we speak about it today, understand this. We have compassion for people who are misled, We have compassion for people who don't understand or practice God's word, who have turned away from God. We have compassion for pagans. We have compassion for people of other religions. Anybody who is not saved is lost in terms of the kingdom of God. And so as a Christian pastor, as a preacher, and as a man who preaches and believes in the Word of God, I have to have compassion on people. Otherwise, I have no reason to love them. I have no reason to care about them. I have no reason to present the gospel to them. And so we have compassion on those who are lost, and we have compassion on those who have mental problems, mental perversion going on in their minds. And so out of this compassion comes the desire to share the gospel, share the good news, and hope that they can come to a place where they understand God's plan for their life, how much God loves them. It is the love of God that will bring them out of this place of darkness. It is the love of God that will bring them into the light. It is the love of God that will have somebody come into their life, maybe even an angel, maybe even Jesus himself, maybe even a pastor or somebody come into their life that will share or give them revelation of God's plan for their life, of God's love for them, of God's overwhelming love that he sent Jesus Christ to die for them on the cross. And so as we speak these things to these people, they will understand that God loves them and he has a perfect plan for their life that doesn't include living in perversion and living in darkness. So Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6:12, that the demonic kingdom is organized, it is lined up against them. It is lined up against every single person because the devil is a hater of God. The devil hates God. He hates God's plan for your life. He hates God's plan for every person's life. He will do everything he can to take you out of your destiny, out of your calling, out of good thinking, out of sober mind. And so this demonic hierarchy then is the devil's kingdom. And Paul says in verse 12, Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood or against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. And so Paul lists there in verse 12, he lists four different categories or four different levels of demonic powers that are stacked up against us. And this is the devil's kingdom. Satan rules this kingdom just as God rules the kingdom of light. Satan rules the kingdom of darkness. And again, these four levels are principalities, powers, world forces of the darkness, and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Well, the world forces of this darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, those are the demons, the demonic realm that attack people on a daily basis. And the principalities, the first one here that Paul mentions, the principalities are demonic entities that sit over whole regions and over whole countries. These principalities are unleashed from the pit of hell. These principalities are very strong. They're established in place by certain demonic people, certain demonic inspired people, and these principalities then rule the thinking of many people. That's why you see this pervasive perversion thinking, this desire to change sex from male to female or female to male. That's why you see this happening over the whole country. Why didn't it happen in the 50s or the 60s? Why didn't it happen in the 70s? Well, there was a precursor back in that day to this, and that was the fornication and the free love movement, and the precursor to what we're seeing going on now. then took place at that time, and it set the stage for the release of this perversion, the release of this principality that now sits over the USA, and it is pervasive enough that it's taken over thinking of government institutions, it's taking over the thinking of school systems, school boards, administration in all the schools, not all the schools, but a great majority of them. It's taking over the thinking now of the business environment, and people are trying to use transgender people to promote their business, and it's taking over the thinking of arts and entertainment, the media, to the point where now television programs are saturated with homosexual and transgender characters, to the point where you would think it was a huge, huge percentage of the people in the U.S. Well, the truth be known, it is a small percentage of the people in the U.S., but it is becoming a greater and greater percentage, to the point where now in high schools and in younger people, even than that, the transgender agenda has taken a firm hold of young people's minds. It is causing great chaos in schools. It is causing great chaos in sports and all aspects of American society. Well, where did this principality come from? It came from the thinking of perverted people. It came from the thinking of demonically inspired people who encoded into law laws that would enable demonic entities to take over parts of America, demonic entities that would be pervasive and take over aspects of America that you're now seeing it come into fruition. You're now seeing it unfold. Back in 2014, the Lord gave me a dream. I was sitting in this city here, Norton, and I was looking out to the west, and there was a huge tornado that was starting to build on the western horizon, and it was headed towards Norton. It was going to demolish, wipe out the whole city. And so I was in a panic. I see the farmers out in the field, and they were rushing into their combines. They're rushing to get the wheat out of the field. And so I wonder, what is the meaning of this dream? I knew some destruction was coming to America. I knew it was going to be a powerful, destructive force. And the dream then was fulfilled. The prophecy was fulfilled in June of 2015 during the wheat harvest, when the United States Supreme Court ruled that no state could bar homosexual marriage in America. And we had many states, I believe about 33 states, that had Defense of Marriage Acts that had been in place for quite a few years. And no state after that point in time, in June of 2015, could ban or prohibit or forbid homosexual marriage in their state. Well, you say, maybe this is just a human rights issue. Well, it is a human rights issue to some extent to the people who want that right. But from God's point of view, there is a spiritual aspect of it. And from God's point of view, this spiritual aspect is a place of darkness. God declares this to be a place of darkness. And so we have to come into agreement with God's word. That doesn't mean we hate the people involved in these types of lifestyles. It doesn't mean we cast them aside. It doesn't mean that we treat them as second-class citizens. But from a spiritual point of view, we have to contend for righteousness. From a spiritual point of view, it is important that we speak God's word and contend for righteousness. And so from that day in June of 2015, we've seen a cascading of events. We've seen a cascading of state laws and federal laws that have emboldened and, you might say, set in stone homosexual marriage. And also now we're seeing a cascading of events to allow transgender perversion to take over in sports and to take over other aspects of society, to the point where we wonder, how can this possibly be? A generation ago, we weren't even thinking of this. And I can say in Kenya and most of the African countries also, this isn't even on their radar. They're not even thinking of it, and they're not making any plans against it or for it. It just doesn't even exist in most people's minds or most people's thinking. Well, Paul said in the letter to Timothy, and this is a prophecy about the end days. It's a prophecy about the time that we're living in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Well, there's many things there that describe modern day society here in the U.S., modern day society in many countries around the world, but one that jumps out at me most of all is lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, when you love pleasure and you love the deeds of the flesh, which I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, when you love pleasure, that's the highest thing on your scale of desire. That's the highest thing on your scale of achievement. It's just pleasure, constant entertainment, constant pleasure, satisfying the deeds of the flesh, which sex is one of the deeds of the flesh. It certainly has spiritual aspects as well. But when done in darkness, when done in perversion, sex is a deed of the flesh. And so this is what Paul was talking about, that people want to just take care of themselves, take care of their pleasure, and not be a lover of God. When you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus, when you submit yourself to God's plan for your life, and you can only do that when you know His will for your life, when you know His plan for your life, and when you know His Word, when you spend time in His Word, when you spend time in prayer and submit to His plan for your life, then you start to understand the desire that God has for you. You start to understand His perfect plan for you, and you start to be able to discern the deeds of the flesh. You start to understand and discern the deeds of darkness that will take you away from God's plan for your life. Well, the deeds of the flesh, Paul also explains this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident," he said, "which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Does that mean that if you have practiced these deeds of the flesh in your life, that you can never inherit the kingdom of God? No, that is not what that means. When you realize, when you come to a realization and an understanding of God's plan for your life, of His will for your life, and you come to a realization that God loves you and that He created you for His purpose to bring glory and honor to Him, you repent, you turn from your wicked ways, you ask the Lord to forgive you, and He is faithful and true. God's grace is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and true to forgive you. In fact, the Bible says He will forgive you and He will forget your sin as far as the east is from the west. And so if you practice these things, which majority of people have probably in their life, and you come to a realization that is not God's plan for your life, that is not God's will for your life, you repent, you turn from your wicked ways, and God will forgive you, and you can have the joy and the blessing and the benefit of eternal life. You can have the joy and the blessing and the benefit of the peace on this earth, wisdom here to do God's will, and all of the things that God has for you then will start to come into manifestation in your life. But if you practice these things, and this is what Paul is saying, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, if you keep practicing them and you're unrepentant about them, you're stubborn, and you never come to a place where you realize you're living in sin, that you're practicing sin, if you come to that place and you're still at that place in your death, at the time of death, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not only have you not inherited it here on earth, but you will not inherit it for all eternity, because you die in an unrepentant state. And so you love the deeds of darkness more than the light. You love the deeds of the devil more than the kingdom of God. And so God will give you over to your reprobate mind. He will give you over to your deeds of darkness, and you will spend eternity in that place of darkness where there is no communication with God, where there is no realization or recognition of God. And so you will spend eternity there because of your stubborn will and your stubborn attitude and your unrecognition or your lack of recognition of your Creator God, who created you in His image. Well, Paul says this same thing in another place in the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:9. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," that is, effeminate by perversion, "nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God." And so Paul lists about 8 or 9 different lifestyles, I guess you could say, or categories of people, different types of people. And the first ones that he lists are the fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate by perversion, nor homosexuals. So 4 of the first 5 have to do with sexual immorality. 4 of the first 5 have to do with sexual perversion. And so what we're seeing here today is nothing new under the sun, I guess you could say, because there is nothing new really under the sun. Paul was preaching and teaching about this at the time when he was alive, which was in the first century after Jesus was born. And so this is a teaching for us that sexual immorality and all of its different versions, all of its different manifestations, all of its different perversions, people who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God if they die in a state of unrepentance, if they die in a state where they are stubborn and continue to practice and believe that this is God's plan for their life. Then they're worshiping the flesh, they're worshiping man, and they're not worshiping God, and they have not come to the truth in their life to the point where they can be forgiven. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, "Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body." Beloved, God created your body. He didn't create it for sexual immorality. If you're practicing sexual immorality, know this, that God is not going to bless it. He cannot bless it. He has to bring some judgment into your life because of your sexual immorality, and you will know when He judges you. You will know, because it will be painful for you. And Paul goes on to say in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself with a harlot is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh." Well, not only harlotry, which is prostitution, but also male-to-male sex or homosexuality, female-to-female sex or lesbianism, transgender perversion, transgender sex, for the two shall become one flesh. Verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral man sins against his own body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Well, I'm going to stop right there. We're running out of time. Beloved, this is a message that is not the favorite for a preacher to preach. This is a message that, in a way, causes the preacher and anybody else who is a man of God to have pain in their heart, to think that these things have to be addressed, and yet they're a part of our society. People are being sucked in, and people are being taken in by this spirit, this principality that is over the U.S. And so the only way that you can stay clear of this and stay away from it and steer your children away from it is that, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. This is God's plan for your life, to join yourself in one spirit with the Lord God Almighty. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all of you who are listening today. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a check. We need your support to keep these radio broadcasts going, keep the Africa mission going. And so we'd love to hear from you. Do that today, if you would. You will be blessed, we will be blessed, and the kingdom of God will be blessed. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.